Well, good morning. It's time to begin this morning. It's good to see everyone. Appreciate all of those who, you know, it used to be that you had to really remember to turn the clock back. But now with technology, the excuses are becoming harder and harder because it does it for you automatically. So I actually remember the days when you had to set the clock back or you'd be late. But it's good to see everybody. The fact that regardless of your clock, that you still decided not to take an extra hour of sleep. It's good to be here. It's good to see the Darrows with us and all of you. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for how you watch over us, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us. We know, Father, that we're so blessed in so many ways and can always look around us and see people who seem to have more than we do in some way or less than we do. But Father, we're thankful for the amount of blessing that you've given us, and help us to be generous towards others. And we thank you for the spiritual things that you give us, Father, and for this time that we have to be spiritually enriched. Help us to listen to your word and the things that you've preserved for our learning. Help us to have the courage to make changes in our life where we need to. Help us, Father, to have the resilience that when we fail, and we do, that we will come back to you, and that we'll continue each day to press toward the mark so that we can live a life that is worthy of the name of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so this quarter we've been talking about unity and studying about unity, and it's been a little disjointed because I was here last week, the week before I wasn't, but the 2 weeks previous that I spoke and was teaching, we focused on Joseph and his situation and his brothers and the relationship of the brothers with their father, Jacob, and how unity worked and how it didn't work and all of those things. Today we're going to focus, and I'm just really planning on just this one Sunday on this particular focus, but we're going to look in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And if I could get someone to read the first 8 verses, I don't think there's any crazy Old Testament names in there that you'll have to deal with, so it shouldn't be too horrible. James. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. Okay, thank you for reading that. That was Genesis 4, 1 through 8, for those who are online. So this is obviously the account of Cain and Abel, right? And who were Cain and Abel? They were the sons of Adam and Eve. So this is Obviously, it's Genesis 4, but this is, you know, right at the beginning, right? So you have Adam and Eve, and they have two sons, Cain and Abel. And which one's the oldest? Cain, right? So we can see that in verse 1, right, she conceived Cain, and, you know, she seems excited about this, right, in the sense that I have acquired a man from the Lord. And verse 2, she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Okay, so Cain's the older brother, Cain and Abel. And so what did they do? What was Abel's profession?
Sheep herder.
Right? So he tended the sheep, we see, and he was a keeper of the sheep, verse 2. And what did Cain do? Okay, tiller of the ground, a farmer, somebody who works the ground, right? And what's that? Has a vegetable garden, okay. And when we start looking, so that, you know, that's the kind of the introduction of the two, right? So they're the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain's the eldest, and, you know, Abel's a keeper of the sheep, and Cain is a tiller of the ground. Then in verse 3, what happens, or what's going on in verse 3? Okay, so there's a sacrifice here, right, or an offering, right? So it says in the process of time, you know, they came and they made an offering. So verse 3 talks about Cain's offering. And what do we know about Cain's offering? Okay, true, but before that, what do we know about Cain's offering? So it was of the ground, right? It was, he brought what he was familiar with or what he had, okay? So he, or what was readily available to him, he made an offering, verse 3, that was of the fruit of the ground. And this offering was to who? It was to God, right? It was to the Lord. Yeah.
One thing Genesis kind of doesn't really tell us at all, but is inferred, is God's instructions to the man. How did Cain know he needed to make an offering?
So we'll a little bit. Yeah, but you're right. We'll kind of play with that just a little bit here in a minute. So he makes an offering to the Lord, and was he the only one that made an offering? No. Abel made an offering too, right? In verse 4, did he bring the vegetables and okay, yeah, he brought the first fruits of his flock, right? So it says in verse 4, he also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Okay. And so those are the offerings, right? Cain brings of the ground, Abel brings of the flock. And what we know in the rest of verse 4 is what? What does it tell us? That's right. That's right. And so the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Okay, so we know that. And what also do we know in verse 5? Okay. So he didn't respect Cain's offering. Now, why wouldn't he respect Cain's offering? And why would he respect Abel's offering? Okay, so there's a thought that one followed the instructions and one didn't follow instructions.
But Abel is what he made and grew from his animal that Cain just took from the ground.
Okay.
The blood was the key.
The blood was the key.
Blood
offering, you think. Okay. Do we know? I mean, I don't know. Do we know for sure? What?
Hebrews 11 says, Abel offered by faith up by hearing. So his offering had enough for what God has told him. God told him, I want this kind of offering. Abel had respected that and through faith obeyed God.
Okay. So we know in Hebrews that it says that, that Abel offered, he offered by faith. You would infer from that that there was some level of instruction or some level of knowledge that was given so that somebody could respond in faith, right? Because it says in verse 5, he didn't respect what? God didn't respect what? Cain and his offering. It's kind of both. Now, they go together, but he didn't like the offering, what was offered, and he didn't like Cain's heart around it, right? His level of faith around it. So it was both the offering and Cain himself. Okay. Now, just as an aside, oh, go ahead before I jump into that. Okay.
So there's no indication there that he even, selected the best for God.
Okay. So the comment was, in verse 4, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock, right? Which indicates that, it was the best. It was the most sought after. I mean, we know in history, the firstborn, was something that was, there was extra relevance attached to. Okay. It's the very best, right? It's kind of the very best. We don't see that even with the ground offering. Okay, so that was the comment that was made there. Have we ever not given of our best when we come to worship God? And what might that look like? How might we not give our best when we come? Okay, so if your mind's not in it. Just distracted, right? Or you're tired. I mean, we're human, right? You get tired, and sometimes we get here and we're exhausted. I mean, I know no one has ever fallen asleep during a sermon or a class or anything, right? Sometimes you find yourself kind of getting tired, or you're just not paying attention, or you're worried about other things. Yeah, so if we don't sing or we don't give as we've been prospered, when you think about the Lord's Supper, so there's times maybe when we don't bring our very best. And so I mean, we can look at Cain and say, well, he should have listened, and he should have, he knew better, and he could have brought something better, and he didn't. And it's true. What I want us to get to overall is that the account of Cain and Abel actually isn't that far away from any of us. Okay, we think about Cain and Abel, and we think about, oh, he killed his brother, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's not that far away, right? We come to worship God, and sometimes we could look across, and maybe one of our brothers or sisters is bringing something better than we are. And better doesn't mean, we know it doesn't mean necessarily more expensive or more, right? We know the account of the widow and the two mites that she gave, but it's about your heart, right? It's about sacrifice. It's about faith. Yeah, so sometimes we think we know better and that it really doesn't matter, okay? That it's not that important, that we kind of know what God wants and we can change it up a little bit. So Cain changed it up and it didn't work out for him. Now, what is Cain, so God wasn't happy. Does Cain or Abel know that God's not happy?
Cain talks directly with Cain and asks him, why are you basically upset? Why is your face fallen?
Okay, so what was Cain's response? So we know that God was pleased with Abel, not pleased with Cain, didn't respect Cain or his offering. And what was Cain's response?
Anger.
A little bit angry? I mean, he was very angry. I mean, he was angry. And his countenance fell. What does that mean, his countenance fell? Okay, I mean, he was angry. Okay, I mean, it was just obvious, and he was just kind of dejected. It affected his whole being, right? You can tell when someone is really bothered by something, right? You can see how they carry themselves. You can see, you know, in their eye contact. You can see just how they walk or how they sit or how they whatever. It's different. His whole countenance lowered, okay? Yeah, that's right. God is a respecter of hearts, right? I mean, so he is looking for hearts. Do you have a comment? No, okay, sorry. All right, so Cain knows, Cain is angry, and then to the point that was made, now, I guess before I jump to that, He's angry about this. Last week we said anger was kind of rooted in what? When we looked at Joseph. When people are aggressive or they're angry or they're resentful. Okay, fear, right? Jealousy, but there's a fear there. Okay? What might Cain have been fearful of? So think about it. You're going before God. Your brother goes before God. You go before God. And you know God does not respect your offering. Now, anger, he gets really angry. But anger is a response. Right? Anger is a emotion that's triggered, but what did Cain have to be fearful of? Okay, one could be that I'm not as good as my brother, and you know, there's that same thing again. There's a clue a little bit in verse 7. Okay, so that he's done something wrong, sinful, or wrong, or displeasing to God that's going to separate him, or he isn't accepted, right? Same thing of being separated from God, is that he's not accepted by God. I mean, is it not a fearful thing to be separated from God? You know, and you have a choice. Right, we all have a choice. When we learn that we might be separated from God, our choice is to build a wall and get kind of indignant and angry is a you know, protection defense mechanism, or what's our other option? Yeah, humility. Right, is our other option. You can still be fearful, but fear could also drive humbleness and humility. And it could cause you to reflect, and it could cause you, you know, you see that with people. They have an option, right? They can either become callous and indignant and angry, like Pharaoh, or you see people who put on sackcloth and ashes, and they cover themselves, and oh, what have I done? What have my people done? Right, and they tear their clothes and they sit. We have a choice when presented with scenarios where we learn that maybe I'm doing something that isn't pleasing to God and that God doesn't accept me. And when we see things in the church, is not when we're in the church, are we not ever learning? I mean, we're all at a different path in our journey. We have people who have been here a week. We have people who have been here a month. We have people who have been here six years, 20 years. When I say here, I just mean in the kingdom, right? In the church. We're all at a different path, and we're all ever learning if we're studying as we should be and as we're reflecting on our lives. And do we not have epiphanies at times in our life? I mean, do we believe exactly the same way that did the day that we were baptized? I mean, do we not get knowledge over time and we start to, in wisdom, and we understand things, and we might even look back on our lives and say, I would have handled that situation different had I known then what I know now. But it's just part of our maturity curve. And as we become aware, as we, you know, we like to talk about a society that's, you know, woke, okay? And as we become woke, right, to the word, We have a choice every time to either build a defense and get indignant and say, I'm not going to do that, or God, you know, I'm not going to go there, or we become humble. And that's why it's important to have, you know, that kind of a heart. So he could have admitted he was wrong. Yep, go ahead. That's right. So, yes, it is, and we're going to talk about that. So, his fear might be he's not accepted by God. Maybe that he's failed as an older brother. Now, I didn't have an older brother, and I wasn't an older brother. I have an older sister, so a little different dynamic. But I'm guessing if you're an older brother. To a to anybody, probably. I know how men are a little bit, right? You don't want to fail. There's a level of responsibility there. And to have your little brother kind of outdo you, there's probably some things that are going on there. But he could have admitted he was wrong. But in verses 6 and 7, there's a conversation between God and Cain, and this is pre-murder. Okay, so pre-murder here, he goes and he tells in verse 6, the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Okay, God calls it out. And as we talked about, anger was not the only response. There could have been another response, right? I mean, even God saying, why are you angry? Like, why get angry? Does God think we're perfect? I mean, this isn't going to be the only time God's ever disappointed in somebody, right? Okay, so you brought me the wrong sacrifice. You didn't listen. Why are you angry? What does God tell him? He says, why are you angry? What's verse 7? What's he tell him, basically? If you do the right thing, I'll be happy with you. Like, why are you getting angry about it, right? I tell you what the secret is, and you've got a choice. And you can either do it. If you do well, you'll be accepted. And if you do not do well, what? Sin lies at the door, right? If you're going to decide not to do well, you know, and it's desiring you, it's looking for you, you're just opening the door for this by having the response of anger versus a response of humility, right? What could have Cain done? So let's say that the blood was important, that it needed to be a blood offering. Let's say, you know, that the offering of the ground wasn't going to be enough. What would that have required Cain to do? You may have to go to little brother who's watching over the sheep. Or change his attitude. You know, I don't know 100% if it was the blood or if it was, you know, just his heart or how he gave it or it wasn't the first fruit of what he gave. I don't know exactly, okay? But let's assume for a moment, right, that it was, and we know how important that blood sacrifice is later. He could have gone to his brother and said, brother, we both want to please the Lord, and you're the keeper of the sheep, and I've got this. I mean, I'll even trade for you, or I'll work for you, or I'll give you some of this for you and your family if you give me a sheep that I can give to the Lord. And he could have, right? He could have gone back after the conversation and made penance or gone to his brother and say, listen, I've clearly disappointed the Lord. I need a sheep, right? I want an offering like yours to please the Lord. And gave Abel some of his vegetables or whatever, right? They could have. But we have to think about why don't we do those kinds of things, right? We get stuck in I can only work with what I have. I don't want to ask a brother. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't, you know, and it, what does it do? It divides us, right? The anytime Satan can start to separate and separate and put a resentment and put a something in between us, it creates discord. Yep. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jody, and I'll come.
If you have a gardener, and I've done it, I've seen it, I've heard it all my life, who raises a really beautiful tomato, they have a lot of pride and joy in the quality of the fruit they produce in their garden. And I can see Cain say, well, my fruit, this is perfect fruit. Why would it not be acceptable? And substituting it, and that would also kind of explain why he was so angry, because God didn't just say, you know, I'm disappointed in you, but don't bring that fruit, even though it was, you know, your best apple or your best tomato. God wanted what he wanted, and God had been given instructions for them to know, to do it by faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Dwayne? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where the point was is that, you know, things just haven't changed that much, even over thousands of years. Go ahead. He told him, he said, listen, if you do well, you'll be accepted, which means it implies you knew what well was, right? If you had done well, you'd be accepted. But you didn't do well. And yeah, God's not going to have us guess, right? He's not going to say, hey, you know, if you don't do right, we're going to have a problem, but I'm not going to tell you what right is. Okay, I mean, that's not what God, that goes against everything that we read, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, about God's character. That's not how he does it. And he says here, if you do, he is like, what? Why are you angry? Like, who are you angry with? Like, what? Why are you so upset? Do the right thing, and you'll be accepted. But you didn't do the right thing. So, that's on you. Right? So he could have done well, and he didn't do well, so he wasn't, you know, he wasn't accepted by God. Then if you look here, he goes on, and let's talk about verse 7, where he says, and if you don't do well, sin lies at the door for you, its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. What does that mean, that you should rule over it? You need to control it. He's like, listen, you're a little out of control. You're letting your emotions get the best of you. And sin's at the door, right? You didn't choose the humble route. And you're putting yourself in a place, you know. I mean, God's given him feedback, to Mark's point. I mean, he's given him feedback here. I want you to think about it. Think if, after today, okay, whenever Brian ends, okay. So after today, what if God gave you feedback, immediate feedback, like literally? And we all knew, because it's not how we do together. He says, Dwayne, and we're all listening. Lisa, okay, just goes down the line. And we all get feedback on how we did today from his perspective. Right? I mean, that would be, that'd get my attention. Okay? So you can understand why there's some emotion around this, because that would feel pretty uncomfortable. But it would still be pretty humbling for most of us, right? You would see some who would argue with God. But it's a great tomato. Do you know how hard it is to raise tomatoes in this climate? Okay? And I can't believe you don't love this tomato. And I can't believe you don't love the way that I want to worship you. And I can't believe that, you know, you don't accept the way I want to do it for you. And so it just shows kind of an attitude of, you know, rebellion. So we have a choice to rule over it. He has a choice. Every time, every one of these is a gate to make a choice. And when we're working with each other, every interaction and every situation, we can either keep going down the wrong road or we can start getting back to the right road. Right? So to Mark's point, he could have then said, I want to sacrifice something to my Lord, and gone out and chased his brother down and say, I beg of you, right? I want to make this right with the Lord. Didn't do that. Okay? And so he didn't rule over it. We know in Matthew 5, right, 21 through 24, we're not going to go there now for time, but it's, you know, we're told, go fix your relationship with your brother. Don't come and offer something to me when you've got a problem with your brother. Here it's, you know, but the idea is go fix it. Now what's interesting, now here's the interesting part. So far, have we talked almost anything about Abel? Is this an issue between Cain and Abel? But what did Abel do? Like, what? This isn't an issue between Cain and Abel. Abel, he was told, here's what you need to do. Abel went and did it. His brother didn't. Cain and God are having this conversation. Abel's not in this. This is between Cain and God. God tells Cain, be careful. Why are you so angry? Do the right thing, you'll be fine. Be careful, you're treading, you know, sin's at the door. And he doesn't rule it. He doesn't go after it, right, and take care of it. And in verse 8, now when Cain talked with Abel, his brother, it came to pass that when they were in the field, he rose up against his brother Abel and he killed him. What in the world does Abel have to do with any of this? Sometimes just doing right, you represent, you are a threat, right, by your lifestyle. We don't know that Abel had anything against Cain. We don't know that Abel was just doing what he needed to do.
Well,
And
what do you think it caused? It caused the problem. Part of the sacrifices. Or maybe God's acceptance of the sacrifice.
You could see where Cain potentially in verse 8 talked with Abel, his brother, and if he hadn't dealt with his anger, which it seems like he probably hasn't, he could have lashed out at Abel. Abel's just wanting to take care of the flock, and he lashes out at Abel. You know, in Galatians 4:16, there's a verse that says, Have I become your enemy because what? Because I tell you the truth? Are you going to hate me because... So if you're going to come to me and ask me about what just happened, and I said, you know, God, remember, God said that we were supposed to do it like this, and I did it like that. And he doesn't rule his anger, and he doesn't take care of it, he ends up killing his brother. You know, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth or I stand for what's right... And we need to think about that in the church, right? When we have brothers or sisters who are just doing right, but it makes us uncomfortable because we don't want to do right. Is it really them? Is it really their problem? Or is it our problem? And we're creating a problem because they represent truth and it makes me fearful that maybe I'm not right or I'm not good enough. And so I react. You have something.
It kind of seems like Cain killing Abel also could have been punitive towards God in a similar way with the whole Joseph thing, because, you know, between the two of them, God favored Abel in that scenario, and Cain's anger was kindled against God. So typically, you know, as humans, when you're angry with somebody, you want to hurt them. You know, it's just a...
Yeah, so the point was it could have been, you know, Cain could have been trying to punish God by killing Abel. Just a little bit, I'm sure, with Joseph and his brothers, it's like, well, you know, we're going to get back at Dad a little bit for being so favoritism towards Joseph, all right? And they watched him for a long time suffer and suffer and suffer, and they didn't own up to it, okay? So who knows? The point, you know, there's you know, a lot to unpack here. And, you know, you look at James 1, 12 through 15, talks about temptation. We don't have time to get to that. But, you know, man's tempted when it conceives in your heart, right? And then it drives you to action. And so it's really important that all of us, if any time we're in the church and we're feeling resentment, we're feeling anger, we're feeling, you know, we need to pause for a moment and say, you know, am I in the right mind? Am I worshiping God in the right way? Why do I not feel love towards my brother or love towards my sister? What's, you know, what's going on? It's like coming home and you have a bad day at work, although now when you come home from work, a lot of us are already home. But if you actually worked outside the home, which I know some of us still do, you know, you come home and you kick the dog, right? You hear that expression. People come, you know, they get upset, they come home, they go, what'd the dog have to do with anything? And so we take things out on other people. And sometimes we're not easy to live with. And sometimes in the church we're not easy to live with. And that's where 1 Corinthians 13 comes in, right? Of being long-suffering, kind, patient, not seeking your own. So some interesting lessons here from Cain and Abel around unity, that sometimes our relationship with God strains this relationship, and I act weird towards you, and it even has nothing to do with you. It's because I'm afraid I'm not good enough, or I've got a problem with God. I don't feel that I'm walking in unity, right? And so we need to understand people have stuff going on. We need to help each other, bring each other along, but we also need to check our own, all of our own stuff that we're carrying around as well. All right, thanks.